Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Central Ohio is an area of opportunity and promise, but the region still faces challenges. The infant mortality rate is way too high. The opiate addiction crisis has worsened and racial segregation persists. Communities often look to elected officials for answers. The Columbus Foundation has changed that equation with its Big Table event, now in its second year. The idea is to get small groups of Central Ohioans together to talk in their own way about the issues they face and their ideas for resolutions. Last year, nearly 500 such conversations took place across the region. Coming up, we're going to hear about a project that came from one of those conversations. Joining us now is Senior Vice President of the Columbus Foundation, Kelly Griesmer. Welcome back.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
Also with us is the new CEO of the United Way of Central Ohio, Lisa Cordes. She spent 13 years as Executive Vice President and Leader of Community Research and Grants Management at the Columbus Foundation. She replaces Janet Jackson, who retired in March after more than a decade at the helm there. Lisa Cordes, congratulations on the new job and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Kelly, where did the idea for the Big Table come from?
Well, the Chicago Community Trust started about 4 years ago doing a pretty wide community initiative with the idea of just bringing people together around tables to share a little bit of food and talk about the community and what they could do to make it better. And their initiative went so well that they invited other community foundations to see the success that they'd had and how to make it work. And I was lucky enough to be a member of one of their symposiums last spring and thought it would be a great thing to bring to Columbus.
What do you mean by it was doing so well? How do you measure that?
Well, that people want to do it. They come out of it having had a really productive experience and an exciting experience. And then they go and tell their friends and bring more back the next year. So Chicago's has continued to grow. And we thought that the Columbus community was definitely ready for that kind of activity.
Lisa Cordes, what, in your opinion, I mean, what's the value of having these sort of structured conversations in this way? Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all sitting in our backyards yapping with our neighbors about what's wrong and what we do differently.
One of the goals of the conversations is really to bring together people that typically aren't together. So it's really not about getting together with your neighbor or your best friends or even your colleagues at work, although that's fine. But the goal is to bring new voices to a table that typically aren't talking with each other, so you can learn from each other and hear all different types of opinions and thoughts and ideas about how to improve Columbus.
Why can't we just rely on the people we elect to have these conversations? I mean, there's public hearings on things. People can testify. They can go to their city council member or their, you know, whoever it might be and talk to them. Why not that, Kelly Griesmer?
Well, the thing is that people feel helpless with that process right now. And what we saw was that people didn't feel like a lot of those traditional methods that we had come to expect were working for them. And what we wanted to do was rebuild that muscle memory that before we used to gather on our porches and our backyards and our schoolyards and get together and talk about what we as citizens could do, big and small acts, use our own energy, our own imagination to accomplish what our communities needed. And we saw a real hunger in the community for people to connect in that way, to broaden their perspectives by meeting others that we've been very used to talking to people through our phones and through social media. And we need that human connection. And we don't feel that some of those traditional town halls, this isn't about talking about what the problems are. It's about getting together, meeting other people and realizing that there is strength together and that we can build stronger communities together without some of the things that we've become so frustrated about.
Some people turn to a place like United Way and say, well, aren't you working on these things? Isn't that what you do for a living? Mm-hmm. Lisa Cordes?
So absolutely, it is what we do for a living. But we are really inspired and always look to people in our community and that grassroots movement that really helps to define and what Columbus is all about and helps to identify needs and helps to identify solutions. I mean, the best solutions happen when they're not put upon people, but they come from people. So, for example, when we do neighborhood-based work, we're working in Linden and on the south side, it's really not about a United Way agenda about how to improve that community, but rather saying, we've leveraged resources to help improve the community and engaging in conversations with people that live in the community about how can we be helpful to you.
Last year, there were 500 conversations. That's really impressive for a first year, I think, to get 500 different conversations, let alone to even get 500 people. So you're looking at 7 to 8 to maybe 9 people per group, right?
Absolutely.
So that's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. We were hoping in the beginning to get about 125 hosts.
Right, was reading the preamble from last year. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's because we did it on pretty short notice. We felt like last year was a tough summer and people really were looking for ways to connect in a new way. And so we set a goal to try to get 125, got almost 500. They hosted groups anywhere from 8 to 12 people on average. And the point is that it's not difficult. You know, being a host isn't about being an expert in some particular area of community building. You know, clearly we have so many nonprofits like the United Way that can give us the information we need about the community. But the hosts are really there to bring their perspective on what their lives are like, what they see every day, questions they may want to ask people, nonprofits that they're passionate about that they can share with other people in the group that may have never heard of that group. So the idea really took off in that people realized, number one, I can be a host. Number two, it's not that hard to get 8 to 12 people together for about an hour, especially when you can do it in your backyard, on your patio, in a restaurant, at a coffee shop. There's really no limits around how you can do it. So it took off pretty easily.
Some groups had some pretty fancy people in them. I mean, you know, some of them were pretty Tony. They had movers and shakers in the community, which seems more, I don't know, those are the ones that were covered, seemed to be covered the most. And they seemed like the same. It was the usual suspects, I guess. Lisa Cordes, they just coalesced around in a coffee shop or in a restaurant or in somebody's home instead.
I think your point about those might have been the ones covered in the media covered. But for sure, as an example, we have public conversations that anyone can join at our public libraries. And the Columbus Metropolitan Club has open tables on Wednesday morning at 8:30. So anyone is welcome. And we'll see all types of new faces. And I think that's where the media needs to come and cover all the public libraries.
So 500 last year. How many are you expecting this year?
Well, this year we changed the time. Last year it happened August 30th. So
right.
We did it in the spring this year because we wanted to try to see. The important piece is to try to get as many people to experience it the first time, to start to build that muscle memory. And so what's really exciting this time is that we think we'll have about 500 hosts again. But we're seeing a lot of people who said they didn't participate last time or they've chosen to host this time, maybe having just heard about it last time. And a lot of the people who hosted have decided to participate and support those friends. And we don't keep track of all the people who are participating because that's a lot of people to keep in a database. So we keep track of the hosts and we know that we're getting a real differentiation of the people who are putting up their hand. And it really is, that's the thing. We really need people to register because it's easy enough to go on our webpage, pull down the toolkit and do it. And if you don't take the couple of minutes that it takes to register, we don't even know that you're doing it. So
is there still time?
Oh, of course. It stays open right through the day of the big table because it takes just a couple minutes to register. The toolkit's right there. If someone woke up that morning and said, gee, I didn't think I could was going to be available today, but I am, and I'm going to grab my 8 colleagues to do this, they could pull it down that morning.
How do people get that diversity into their group so that they're not the people they're working with every day, so that they're not people they already know?
Well, some people, there's a lot of different ways. As we said, we added these public conversations where a lot of people said they just want to meet people.
So they're showing up and they don't even know anybody at the table.
They don't know anyone. Okay. But a lot of people invite about 5 people and say, bring another 5 that we've never met. You know, or 4 people and bring 2 friends. We think that's an easy suggestion because we all have multiple networks. And if you just take a couple of seconds to think about who you could pull from and that it doesn't have to all be from the same office or the same book club, it gets different pretty quickly. And the nonprofits obviously help us as well in reaching out to. Last year, we actually had one of our nonprofits that works with homeless populations just set up tents outside inside their building and ask the homeless people to come in and out of the tent all day long to talk with them and sort of have these impromptu big tables. And those may have seemed a little unconventional, but the point was to really hear those people and what they were saying and hopefully give them an experience they might not have expected.
What were some of the issues that participants chose to talk about last year?
So it's interesting, as Kelly said, it took place, the first one, right before the election.
Right.
So we definitely knew people needed to talk and come together and had a lot to say. And we did a survey and we thought we'd hear that they talked about politics. But really, that was really low on the percentage.
It was like 5%.
What was it?
Oh, 5%.
Right. So the big issues were around education. That was the number one issue.
Yeah. And of course, poverty. I mean, I think that we see the interrelatedness of people worrying about poverty in our community and how we can better provide educational opportunities for people and certainly just how to be engaged in the community generally. So economic development, poverty and education were certainly the topics we saw come up most often. But people could check the box for a number of topics. And we saw where all of those topics showed more than 50% of the people talked about them. So that shows they talked about probably all three of those things or at least a couple of those things in the same conversation and chose to highlight for us that they had covered all those topics.
How does one of these conversations start? Were you in one last year, Lisa?
I was. Uh-huh. And I'm hosting two this year as well.
How do you do two? Oh, in different times of the
different
day.
Different times of the day.
Gotcha.
Right. And at both, I believe I won't know any of the people that actually, one that I'm having in my home, and I've invited people I don't even know to my home. So I'm really excited about that. We did hear last year people saying, what do you want us to talk about? Well, it really is organic. We want you to sit down and talk about what's on your mind and what we have found when people do that. There seems to be an organic way that a topic evolves out of that.
Like a common denominator
right.
type of topic.
Right. So I head into mine on Wednesday with no idea of what the group wants to talk about. I have no agenda myself, but certainly I probably will throw out how can we improve our community and see what happens from there.
Yeah. Do you do it, Kelly?
I actually, so because I have a lot of the logistical stuff on my plate
exactly.
as well, we do try to get around and I kind of pop place to place. And so I did join a couple of conversations. I don't think I ever got a full one under my belt last year, but I did stop into a number of them and sit down and listen because I think that that's as big of a part of the big table as talking. It really is about listening because we hope that it broadens perspectives. You know, Lisa's exactly right that people say, what are we supposed to accomplish? And I think that that's the interesting piece. We've all come to this immediate gratification. If we can't complete it in 2 minutes, then we probably didn't do anything worthwhile. And that's not the case. We need to sit down and really listen to people and think what we're all seeing is that what we think we know, we don't know, and that we may not be right, and that the exercise we need to take some time with is actually hearing other people and listening and not necessarily changing our mind, but at least considering the perspective we have and whether we really know what we think we know. And by meeting other people, we hope that people will broaden their perspectives in that way and maybe think a little more deeply about what they can do to improve the community, not just to complain about potentially a thing that we see that's wrong, but what we can actually do. And it doesn't mean that we at the Columbus Foundation should take that mantle and run with it. We believe in the power of the people, if you will, as well, and that they can meet these folks in nonprofits and engage with them and give them time and give them treasure and work on social issues without looking for that silver bullet that's going to solve all the problems in one fell swoop.
But you have to come to this with the desire to make things better.
Absolutely.
That's kind of the only requirement.
That's the intent. Like, yeah. What are your ideas? What are you most concerned about in our community and how can we make it better?
Well, listeners, what do you think the issues are facing our community that you think we need to talk about? Did you participate in the Big Table event last year? Give us a call. Tell us what your experience was last year. Because as we mentioned, a lot of them no one ever knows what they've done. So if you want to share what you went through last year and what you came up with, give us a call. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And you can check out our Facebook page. You can You know, you can find us on Twitter, too, if you can do it in 140 characters. That's at WOSU All Sides. Check that out. Whatever works for you. But tell us one of two things, you know, what you think the issues are facing our community that we need to talk about. Or if you participated in a Big Table event last year, tell us what you experienced. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. This hour, we're talking about community conversation and civic engagement by way of the Columbus Foundation's Big Table event. Still with us is Senior Vice President of the Columbus Foundation, Kelly Griesmer. Also, CEO of the United Way of Central Ohio, Lisa Cordes. Listeners, what do you think the issues are facing our community that we need to talk about? Did you participate in the Big Table event last year? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org and tell us what you think. What are the responsibilities of someone who hosts a Big Table meetup, Kelly Griesmer?
It's very simple. They, if they are a general host that's hosting their own conversation, they find a place, a time, and invite the guests to come. It can be any time between midnight to 11:59, and they offer. We ask them to offer a snack that people can share. It's just a way of kind of breaking the ice for everyone.
Noshing a little bit. Yeah,
Chicago has a lot of focus on the meal. We don't put that much pressure on people. It's just
I like the focus on the meal, though.
Yeah, I'm not a cook, so they would lose in my conversation, but I do know how to find good snacks. So in any event, we ask them to do that just basically to set the table, if you will, for the conversation to happen. And then there's a toolkit. And there's a conversation guide in that toolkit that the host can pull down. And really, they're the spark for the conversation. They're the one who gets the conversation going and on track, but they don't have to at that point put any more pressure on themselves to be. If they have a topic on their mind, certainly they raise it, but otherwise they open it up to the table and go from there.
So how much pressure are you putting on yourself, Lisa Cordes?
Well, I as a host, I bought some cheese yesterday at Kroger's and a couple bottles of wine, and I'm having a conversation from 5 to 6 tomorrow evening.
Uh-huh. And how, you know, you said you're inviting people you don't know to your home.
Yes. So I am inviting people who volunteer for United Way, but I have not met them.
Okay.
And they actually don't volunteer together. So okay. They volunteer in different ways. So they probably don't know each other either. So I'm excited about that.
Any surprises from last year, Kelly Griesmer?
Well, I think our biggest surprise was the one we talked about before, which is that given the timing of it, we really thought
it wasn't politics.
It would
politics,
get politics, and
yeah.
That was only about 5%. I think the other surprise, if you will, was that so many people responded to the survey saying they hoped to meet more people that they didn't know. So you'd think that the thing that would be the most frightening, that was a great takeaway, that the people who participated really, we saw time and again in the narrative suggestions, gee, find a way for us to just meet some other people, which shows, number one, how difficult we think that is these days. And number two, though, a great hunger to do it. So we were excited. And that's really was the impetus to have some of these public conversations where people could just sign up online and pick a location.
What's the magic in that 8 to 10 people thing? What do you know about that?
That is a cue that we took from the Chicago folks and their experience over their first 3 years was that a group of 8 to 12 is still intimate enough for people to really feel like they have a moment to speak. If you get too large of a group together, ultimately there's some people who never get a chance to say anything, and so we there's not a lot of magic to it other than we feel that it's intimate enough, but still enough people that you can learn some new things.
I find it hard to believe that there's nobody listening right now who participated in the Big Table event last August in in Central Ohio. What do you think the issues are facing our community that you think we need to talk about in these kinds of events? And did you participate in the Big Table event last year? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Be a part of this conversation. You had two training sessions with Big Table hosts already. You don't need to go to those. They were never mandatory. But what happens in those?
Well, the first one, that the earlier one, was really just a question and answer session for people who are new hosts that maybe wanted. I find that sometimes people are nervous about signing up to be a host the first time, and it's really just to allay those concerns. The second one that we had last week, we really go over the host toolkit in more detail for folks who, even though it's very explanatory, we sometimes people just like that, again, human connection. They get to meet other hosts, hear about other experiences. We also ran through some of the we have a box of materials that people can pick up at the Columbus Foundation, things to make the conversation fun and engaging, some note sheets and, you know, little stickers that people can wear to show they joined the Big Table and things like that. And we went through some of that for people. And it just gives people a minute. Really, I think they like the networking the best, which is meeting other people who are hosting and finding out what they've been having good experiences with and, you know, sharing that experience together as the host crew.
Without naming names, can you describe some of the different kinds of people from different walks of life that hosted Big Tables or will host one this Wednesday?
Yeah, I've met so many people in the community who have really, you know, we have everything from teachers, you know, leading these conversations with middle school children and even elementary school children. The Boys and Girls Club will do it with their high school leaders. So we have a lot of young people involved this time. We have one conversation that will be almost entirely in Spanish. So we work with them to try to give them the survey in Spanish because we do have some of the nonprofits that work with those communities. Us Together is a local nonprofit that does their conversation and also with Chris, and they specialize in working with refugees. And so they bring the refugees to the table. And our hope is eventually that we can start to mix those groups with each other as well. You know, we find that nonprofits give us a wonderful lens into they often work with the people, are speaking to the people they work with or the people who are passionate about their services. And that's very helpful because sometimes, you know, giving direct service is a difficult job and sometimes they don't get a chance to just sit down and talk with those people. So the Center for Healthy Families is doing a conversation. They work with teen moms. You know, we have people that really do dig down. When you have almost 500 of these going on around the city, you know, certainly Mayor Ginther is having a conversation and a very large one with, I believe he's focusing on My Brother's Keeper. So even he's not doing it with a group that is sort of, you know, another group of city officials or, you know, he's reaching out to a very large community group as well.
But you said a really big one.
Yeah.
Like how big?
I believe that they have about 140 people participating.
But they'll all be in separate tables.
Yeah, they have our materials and they'll break it. They have to break up. Usually the best idea is to break it up. Although we let people run with this. You know, if you want to pose a question and have only, you know, for instance, last year, Bexley Middle School only had 40 minutes with their students over lunch and they set them all out on picnic blankets with toolkits and let them go. And the service club signups went through the roof after the kids did it for even 40 minutes. So again, it's not about us prescribing exactly how to do it. We think that, you know, for a true conversation to happen, you know, try to go about an hour with 8 to 12 people, but we've seen it work in a lot of different ways.
How do you avoid then like the elephant in the room with something the likes of Mayor Ginther?
Well, I think that people often don't have an opportunity to. I think that what we find is that a lot of the public officials are very open to just listening to what people have to say, and that it's not about them talking or telling them what the city's doing or will do. It's about them hearing those voices.
Harley in Grove City, you're on the air. Hi, Harley.
Hi, and this is Harley Blakeman.
Go ahead. You were at a Big Table event last year.
Yeah, so I was a senior at Fisher College of Business at OSU, and a leadership program I was in, we had someone from the Columbus Foundation come in and host a Big Table event on campus. So there was maybe 12 or 15 tables, and, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but they broke us up into groups, and each table had a volunteer to be like the host of the table. And we started off by just going in a circle and kind of saying who we are and what we do, and then kind of broke into it. And our table ended up talking about drug addiction and how we are commonly treating people who have drug addiction as criminals, and it's becoming increasingly obvious that we need to treat them as if they are sick and they need rehabilitation instead of, you know, being incarcerated.
Did something come of it?
Well, you know, we had a really intimate conversation where even people who hadn't experienced that in their, you know, in their immediate family or in their neighborhood were able to say, you know, like, oh, one of my old teachers or one of my best friends or my mom's best friend, you know, is addicted to something or went to prison after being addicted to something. So it brought light to the fact that it's affecting like everyone, mm-hmm. and not, you don't have to just be poor or, you know, a criminal to somehow end up, you know, it only takes a week to accidentally become addicted to something. And then now your life could be ruined forever if you are treated as a criminal instead of someone who needs help.
Harley, are you going to participate this year?
I have not signed up yet, but I was looking this morning at someone I know who's hosting one. So I may contact them about joining their group.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you, Anne.
Yeah. Take care. If you have participated in the big table last year, if you're planning on doing it this year, give us a call. Tell us what your thoughts are about it, what you're hoping for, what came out of it last year. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. OSU is, well, I guess it's just back in session now. Or no, maybe it's not yet. I don't know if the summer session started. Does that? I mean, but it had just started last August when this, when the big table was, when it happened last August. Does that? I mean, that's kind of cool that the Fisher College of Business got involved.
Yeah, there was a professor there. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Harley's class, a professor there that reached out to me right when classes started and said she was very interested in having her Fisher Leadership Program participate. So we went out and gave them a little orientation, and then they went forward and sent me really copious notes about all the different things that they had talked about. And that's what's amazing, too, is that they're all very forthcoming about sharing not only survey responses, but a lot of narrative data about what they talked about that really does help all of us that are working in the community understand what's coming to mind for people when they sit down together.
We are going to hear from one of the groups that met last year, someone who got something started from all of this. They started a project. Is that typical?
I think so. I mean, we saw a lot of people who had an idea, and I've met with a number of groups that have continued to meet since last year. So they are still holding their own big tables, and sometimes their schedule didn't match ours. So they were like, well, we're having our big table in 2 weeks because we've been doing it since last year anyway. So, you know, that certainly the group that we're going to talk about in a minute has a very big idea that's exciting. But
yeah.
And I'll regularly hear from people who reference what they learned in their big table last year. You know, for me personally, one of the tables that I went to was hosted by Creative Housing, and everyone was in a wheelchair. And it changed my whole perspective on people with disabilities. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity, and I made new friends that I've stayed in touch with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they've thought about how to work together to lift up the issues related to the barriers around living in a wheelchair.
Did what happened in Chicago 4 or 5 years ago when they first started it, did it translate directly to Columbus, or did you tweak it at all?
Well, like I said, I think ours is even more grassroots. They plan almost a year between each one of theirs. And we've taken a little different tack in that way, that we believe that the community, it's the kind of thing that if we can catalyze it at a particular moment, we're going to put it out into the atmosphere. And we see the Columbus community responds very, very quickly. So we haven't quite put that marketing blanket around it and that sort of thing. We just treat it as a true community effort and stay in touch with the people who host and keep their energy going. And very often it was one of the number one questions I would get after the big table happened was, when's it happening again? So we really believe that that's the power of it, is that eventually enough people have experienced it that they take it with them all year long. And even if it's not conversations catalyzed by the Columbus Foundation, that they may choose to sit down or go to conversations hosted by all the wonderful nonprofits in town who do this many times a year.
There's always a role for skeptics in something like this. People who are poo-pooing it, saying, oh, come on. This is a bunch of people that would get together anyways, do-gooders, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's always going to be skeptics or people that but I wonder about them. And I always think there's a value, obviously, in having that skeptic in the room sometimes. How do you get that element to it?
How do you deal with the skeptics?
Well, how do you actually get them in the room?
Well, I think that I'm very transparent about the fact that I do believe that the first and foremost point in this is that it's about human connection and that we just don't have enough of that in our communities anymore, and that it's fun to sit down and like we said, break, you know, have a snack and a cup of coffee or whatever with some folks that you haven't met before. This really is about expanding your network, expanding your perspective. And if you even take it just at that level, it's worth it just to have a little bit of enjoyment in the day, and you'll walk away feeling better than you can imagine. So we really just ask people to take that leap of faith with us and for an hour and see what happens.
You know, Lisa Cordes, I sometimes don't think people realize how really very segregated Columbus is. It's considered one of the most economically and racially segregated cities in the country. And you don't know that because, you're not living it. You're living in your own neighborhood. And it probably affects a lot of what you do as well.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the greatest issues that we deal with in terms of the divide, especially around, economic divide in our community. And the strategies around the Big Table have been to intentionally reach out to all types of communities. So neighborhoods that you might think are typically having kind of dinner table conversations. But as Kelly mentioned, working with the homeless population and other neighborhoods that are more disadvantaged or marginalized, we've been intentional about reaching out and inspiring people to host conversations. Because that's just really important that, as you said, that it's all people talking and we get all different perspectives.
It seems like more people with leisure time can afford to do this. Some people think, I'm working three jobs, I'm working two jobs, I've got a bunch of kids, I can't afford, I don't want to go, I don't have anything to wear, I don't have transportation. Kelly Griesmer, what about that? Because that always seems like, again, one another set of voices that's missing at these things.
Well, I think that we actually had a lot of luck with that because, like I said, the nonprofit partners are extremely helpful in that they work at the grassroots level in these communities, and they were very welcoming to people and very important to spreading the word and saying, this is about coming in and sitting down. For instance, Community Development for All People, an organization, had they run the free store on Parsons Avenue, and they had, invited their folks in, at the Reeb Avenue Center. They sat down at their community dinner and had a special Big Table conversation. We would love to mix those groups in the future and continue to mix it. But as I said, especially the first and second time through,
sure,
you're just trying to get people comfortable with the model. And that's why it was so exciting to see people coming out of that first one saying, I would like to sign up for the library locations, especially one that's not in my neighborhood, because I'm more hopeful that I'll meet some of the people that I'm hearing are touched by some of these situations that maybe I'm not touched by. And it really is about building up that courage to keep expanding your world and your backyard a little bit farther. But we had really good luck, I think, with people already seeing and meeting people. One woman said last year she walked out of her conversation having learned about homelessness in a way that she hadn't learned about it before. And that when she was approached by a homeless person almost momentarily upon leaving the conversation, she handled the conversation completely differently, ended up putting the person in her car and driving the person to a shelter, which is a pretty powerful thing. And if that's the only thing that she did for the whole year out of that conversation, I still view that as a huge success. So
we're talking about the Big Table. The event occurs this Wednesday, May 17th. And for more information, you can check out the link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. It's not too late to sign up. So check it out and see what you think. If you have been at a Big Table event, last year was the first year, or if you're going to be at one this year, give us a call. Tell us what you think about what you're going to do. Tell us what you did last August. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about community conversation and civic engagement by way of the Columbus Foundation's Big Table event, now in its second year. Still with us is Senior Vice President of the Columbus Foundation, Kelly Griesmer. Also, the new CEO of the United Way of Central Ohio, Lisa Cordes. And joining us now is Thad DeVassie. He's owner of Ratchet Strategy and Communication. That's a Columbus-based marketing firm and a Big Table participant. Welcome to the show, Thad.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What was your experience last year? Did you host?
I did.
Okay.
My colleague Jeremy Slagle and I opted to host a table. We thought, this sounds like a great idea.
What the heck? Yeah.
Yeah. This sounds like a great idea to, you know, gather some people and have a conversation. And honestly, we didn't really know what we were getting into until we got the packet and like, okay, how do we run this? But what we decided is we intentionally went after people in the creative field. Jeremy had a list of people that he wanted to invite. I had a list of people that I wanted to invite. And we kind of got a great cross-section. And the conversation was really just natural. And it was a great experience for us.
So when you went into it, what were your expectations?
That's a great question because we didn't know. We're doing something for the first time. We don't know what's going to come out of this. I think from our standpoint, being a group of creatives, that we're okay in the messiness of that. And we thought, gosh, what a great opportunity to get. In our case, we had like 17 people around our table, larger than we anticipated. But we just wanted to see where the conversation would go. And for us in particular, one of the things that led us to the idea of having creatives at the table versus just a y'all come, whoever could make it. We're a lot of times the folks that get asked to implement things without being invited to the table, so to speak, to strategize.
Like
about,
make my dream happen.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so this really kind of gave us an opportunity to be the thought leaders and provokers as opposed to just the implementers and just let conversation happen.
And the project that came, that you actually had a real project that came out of your table, it's called Camp Click.
Yes.
Tell us what led up to this. So, what was the trajectory of the conversation that led to this?
Yes, the conversation that morning was kind of all over the place, and I think that's a really good thing because we got to hear. I think that's the most important thing about the Big Table is the ability to listen to other points of view. We got to hear a lot of different things going on. One of the things that came out of our initial discussion was this idea of us as creatives. A lot of the folks that we were having at the table were entrepreneurial. We're sort of behind closed doors. People don't see what we do. And one of our co-founders of Camp Click, Marshall Shorts, pulled from the conversation that, hey, I'm going to go and do my work in the public library at 4 o'clock so young kids can see what I do. And within days, we're seeing him post on Facebook and Instagram his workspace at the Columbus Library and just out for people to see, which was wonderful. And
what does he do?
He's a graphic designer. Okay. So people get to see him actually designing, and young kids could come up and, what are you doing? And actually engage young kids. And that really was the impetus for what Corey Faber and Marshall Shorts wanted to do is, how do we get young urban kids excited about the arts? And that sort of continued the conversation when Marshall went out and did this thing, that the conversation started to move and go forward from that point. And that's how Camp Click started to get its legs.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because that's one of the reasons why I like to do live remotes, is because I actually get out there, and not only do I get to see people and just be in a different place and someone brings donuts, but people also get to see us and see what we do. So what is Camp Click?
Sure. Camp Click is an initiative that it's a grassroots initiative to engage urban youth to help them discover their potential in the arts. And Moisha Applebaum of Midwest Photo, who hosted our Big Table, is involved with myself, Jeremy, Marshall, and Corey. And those are the five in Camp Click that came up with this idea to say, what if we give cameras to kids in the urban community that otherwise wouldn't have access.
Like real cameras.
Real digital SLR cameras. And give them a camera to sort of tell a story from their point of view. The impetus for this is cameras are you know, we've got them on cell phones, but we don't really have the ability to understand how they work. And so we're going to have volunteer professional photographers actually help lead the classes. But we really see Camp Click as a portal to creativity, that once these kids have an opportunity to take a picture, see how it works, understand how they can tell a story through their own lens, if you will, that leads into storytelling. That then becomes a digital image on a computer that leads to photo manipulation and motion graphics, video. It's the portal that we're seeing to creativity, but it's very tangible as well. It's nothing esoteric. They're actually going to get a chance to get their hands on this and learn a new skill.
So what's the route to that group? I mean, how do you get in and find the kids?
Yeah, so that was the big conundrum, right? So we've got this great idea now. What do we do with it? We happen to have contact at the Graham School, at their middle school, and James Cutnow said, "Come on in, let's talk about it." He was the principal, and said, "Guys, let's do this as part of our curriculum." So we had the idea. We didn't know where it was going to go. We didn't know necessarily how we were going to implement it. We were kind of working through that. And we found somebody who really believed in our idea and said, put it in my school. And so we're starting there. It's our pilot this year. Mm-hmm. We're optimistic, but you know, we're just extremely thankful for James to come alongside of us and say, I want this here.
So what's come out of it? What have you found? What have you seen from what the kids have done?
Yeah. So, you know, the big Camp Click has not yet happened. It's going to actually kick off in the next school year in September, which is kind of nuts from my perspective, being a guy in public relations and communication, that to get this much interest in what we're doing before it even happens is just kind of unheard of. But we've had a lot of people come alongside of us. Moisha, who works at Midwest Photo, has Nikon and Canon donating lenses for us. We've got people that are donating their old digital SLR cameras to Midwest Photo so we can use them in these classes. We've had a lot of people, social media, just say, how can we help? How can we be a part of this? We're just really thankful that we've got an army of people coming alongside us to want to make this work.
It's interesting. This, Kelly Griesmer, this doesn't solve the world's problems, in fact, but it does solve a big problem. Talk about how to get the arts, you know, and that's the first thing to go in a lot of schools now.
Well, it's, you know, we see a lot of people, and the reason people don't do actions is they feel like they have to boil the ocean, right? They feel like if I can't fix every school in Columbus, then I might as well not do anything at all. And the Big Table is exactly the opposite of that, which is if you have an idea and you can implement it somewhere and affect some lives, that's what we as a community should do. That's what communities traditionally did when they started public schools to begin with, and when they rallied around their own students and their arts programs and their sports programs. And that doesn't happen the way it used to. So what we're trying to do is spark those energies that if you can do good in other people's lives and spread kindness and good energy, you're going to improve things from the grassroots level, and it may grow into something.
You know, it's interesting. You talked about the person who gave the homeless person a ride after the last one, and how that affected somebody. And then now we have people donating cameras to people they don't know. I mean, expensive cameras, probably. There's a lot of trust involved in this whole process.
Yeah, I think that's the...
Everything from getting the conversation going to this.
It's what the Big Table is really about. It's about bringing community together, because we've talked about this at length, that not one of us would have run out with this idea and thought we could do it. And it really did take five of us to start talking it through, having the right contacts, and having you know, just the initiative to say, you know, what if? And we know that it won't happen if we don't try. And so that sort of gave us permission to just move forward and make some asks that would open more doors. And luckily for us, it's happened, and this is moving forward.
Are you doing a Big Table conversation this year?
I am, of course. After last year, it was so much fun. We're going to convene another group of creatives. But even beyond that, I'm going to go sit in on a couple others just because I want different perspectives. you know, creatives have a variety of different perspectives, but I want to be in a room of people that I don't know at all. And look forward to sitting at a couple different tables on Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's kind of your dream come true then.
He is. No, but I mean, I think, and we do hear this a lot. Like I said, the people who, even though we were so proud to have 500 hosts and 5,000 people involved, Columbus is a big place. And it's about continuing to open this door to people to connect. We believe that the more that this community connects this way and meets all the other folks who are worrying about similar things that we are, the more we realize we're not that different, and that you know, that we can have power over our surroundings together, and you know, so it sounds like I said, you know, some of it little peace, love, and you know, all that, but it's true that people really, when they have these experiences, are empowered by it, and then they find the ability to do really amazing things that they wouldn't have previously dreamed were possible.
And you know, Lisa Cordes, it gets down to sort of a granular level when we're talking about what Thad is talking about, things that you're in the United Way, doesn't always get that detailed and down to such a focused point of view.
I'm struck by this conversation that it's hard to quantify the impact of the big table. You know, it's a qualitative study because these are just some examples that we know about. But 5,000 people last year participated. There are lots of stories like this throughout our community that we haven't been able to capture in a statistically significant way. But we're not hung up on that with the big table, right? It's about people and movement and new connections and things we may never learn about to study.
Do you have a mission goal? Usually there's got to show some kind of something out of it. Is it worth it?
Yeah. Well, the number one goal is to do it and continue to see energy around it. So, like I said, we've done two at two totally different times of year. Mm-hmm. We'd like to say that we're still in the, you know, examination phase of how we can make this continue to make this part of the lifeblood of Columbus. But the goal would be to be able to have them often and have people engage easily and no longer be concerned about whether being a host is hard or whether being a participant is scary. It is about building the muscle memory. And then by doing the survey, we do a post-event survey that does allow people to tell us not only who participated and what the demographic information is, but what they talked about and what ideas they had.
Is that how you found out about Thad?
It is.
His group?
Yeah, well, a lot of the hosts literally email me. Like, so even though they survey, they email too, which I love.
Not enough. Must tell you personally.
And isn't that a great problem to have?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, most people, last time we had almost 100% of the hosts respond to the survey, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Because they understood that was one of the really most important things to do, was tell us as the champion of that conversation what happened in that conversation. And then Thad reached out to us narratively to tell us as well what happened.
Yeah, I think that was, for Kelly's sake, I hope more people do this. Our idea didn't germinate. It germinated at the table. The idea wasn't fleshed out at that point. It took 6 months for us to really say, do we have something here?
Yeah.
And then move forward. And then that's when I reached out to Kelly and I said, you know, you may not be aware, but had it not been for your event, this wouldn't be happening. And mm-hmm. So the permission that the Columbus Foundation and the Big Table gives us is tremendous. I mean, being able to take advantage of that opportunity is important.
Well, Thad DeVassie, thanks for joining us today to tell us about it.
Thank you.
Thad DeVassie is owner of Ratchet Strategy and Communication, a Columbus-based marketing firm, and the Big Table participant. Also, Lisa Cordes, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Lisa Cordes, CEO of the United Way of Central Ohio, and Kelly Griesmer, Senior Vice President of the Columbus Foundation. Thanks to you.
Thank you.
The Big Table event, it happens on Wednesday. For more information, visit the link at our website at WOSU.org/allsides. It's not too late to get involved. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.